You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Celtic are back at the top of the table, Kyogo's back on form, and myself and James are back with a morning after the night before final whistle show as Celtic beat St Johnstone 3-1 at Celtic Park. James, your initial response to yesterday's win?
Yes, so, you know, some things starting to click a wee bit. I thought some of the footballing passages yesterday was really good, really positive, flowing stuff. Three goals, could have been three more, could have been a penalty, blah, blah, blah. So all very positive, top of the league. We spoke about it in the weekly show, I think, on Monday. I mean, if you give me another, what, eight of them in the league? Is that right?
Yeah.
And two in the cup, that's your gap double. So, yeah, if Celtic play like that the rest of the season, they'll win the league in the cup.
Yeah, so that was match day 30 of 38. Obviously, we now know we're recording here just before 2 o'clock on Sunday afternoon. We now know Rangers game at Dundee hasn't gone ahead. Thoughts are with all those who travelled all that way for nothing, but that's just how football goes sometimes. What do you make of that in terms of from the side of view, though? So obviously Celtic went top yesterday and it may or may not have just been temporary until Rangers game against Dundee. We now know we get an international break. We're top of the pile for the next 2 weeks at least, and Rangers will have to fit in that fixture somewhere along the way. What do you think of that as a situation?
Steve in the comments has just took the words right out of my mouth. Bird and hands were two in the bush. Everyone in football would always rather have the points than be chasing points. So, yeah, I'm delighted with that. It gives them a bit of time to rest after Europe. You can make positive and negative arguments from their point of view. But for us, we're top of the table and we'll remain so until they can get that fixture dealt with. It looks like the most available free slot will be the week before our game against them, Ibrox.
Is that right? That could be interesting itself. But for the meantime then, James, mind the gap. Mind that 1 point gap at the top of the table. Let's take it into the game then, ahead of St Johnstone. Another injury-enforced change at centre-half. Now, we've been debating Liam Scales kind of all season, haven't we? You know, should he start, should he not? But he misses out through injury, and it's another enforced shuffle for Brendan Rodgers. Thankfully, Cameron Carter-Vickers was coming back in. But what do you make of the starting lineup in general, including the centre-half positions?
Apart from Scales or Welsh, I think we called the team. Hart, Johnson, CCV, Taylor, Timoke, O'Reilly. Oh, no, I called Kelly, actually, said the Bernardo. Kuhn, Dyson, and Kyogo. So, I think, in hindsight, Kelly should have started. I thought Bernardo was... gave us a nothing performance, didn't he? And he's got it in him. It's really quite frustrating. But the starting lineup was generally positive. I don't think there's an awful lot in Welsh and Scales in terms of difference. CCV is the maker there.
Yeah, he is. That was the most important thing that he returned. I thought Stephen Welsh was perfectly fine yesterday. He wasn't troubled or challenged that much, to be honest with you, from a defensive point of view, although as we'll get to, Celtic do lose a cheap goal later on in the proceedings. But across the board, yeah, it was a fairly predictable lineup out with the centre-half situation. I would say, based on what we know, right, so obviously we don't see what's going on at Lennox Town, who's performing, who's not. You know, is Lagerbielke having a nightmare up there, for example, because he's not favoured for different reasons? Is Bernardo doing particularly well because he's now had, I think, two or three too many nothing games, as you say. He's given a chance there in the midfield, and it's almost hard to rate him because he just didn't get involved enough. You couldn't say he had a poor game. You couldn't say he had a good game. The game kind of passed him by. So he's not making big mistakes, but he's also not having a big impact. And I think there is now a call for Daniel Kelly to get a chance here. We're in a position where the next game is Livy at home. I need to check that. It's Livy away on the 31st of this month, and then it's Rangers on the 7th of April. So if you are making a change in that midfield, it's not a lot of time for Daniel Kelly to bed in and get used to it. But I don't know. What about further up? We'll get to it in more detail, but Kyogo gets a nod over Ida. And ultimately, it looks like it was the right choice on the day.
Yeah, he was on his toes, Kyogo. I thought he played really well. You know, he pushed for man of the match, I would say. Couldn't probably nip him on that one. I don't think there's an awful lot between them. I think both Ida and Kyogo bring positive attributes in different ways. You know, even when Ida came on, he had a good chance. You know, he put himself about. It's a different kind of game. It's more physical when Ida's there, which, you know, against Considine the likes, I maybe would have gone for Ida before the game started. But Kyogo more than justified his inclusion, sure.
Yeah, definitely. There's various comments coming in, and when encourage any comments or thoughts you've got, whether it's on the game specifically or bigger picture stuff. A few folks saying Coon impressed, they definitely did. Celtic looked much more assured with Cameron Cattle-Vickers. And there's no escaping that. He makes such a difference in terms of two things. He's a very good footballer, and by that I mean not just a good defender. He can play ball, he's got a nice touch, he controls it well, he's got a nice technique. But for me, it's always his calm and influence at the back. I think everybody from Joe Hart out just feel so much more assured. Fans as well, actually, we all feel so much more assured when he's part of Celtic's, you know, back line. The first half itself, James, obviously you and I are there together, and I think Celtic were well in control. We weren't cutting them apart at will, but we basically lived in their half, and we eked out several chances. I thought Nicholas Coon in particular was playing his part. Maeda giving you that work rate as always, but the best stuff was coming through Nicholas Coon for the most part.
Yeah, I mean, if anything, I said to you at the game, if anything, I think we were guilty of not involving him more. You know, he had that boy in toast. The boy doesn't know if he was going to cut inside or hit the byline, which is exactly where a winger wants to get a defender in the headspace of, I don't know what side you're going on me here. And I just don't think we fed him enough. I think if we had done, we maybe did a wee bit more in the second half, but if we'd fed him more, I think we'd get more out of him as well. And it's great for his confidence, you know, so it's a funny one. All the dental stuff and the weight loss, which is significant weight loss for an athlete, looks like it's true, and he's starting to show what we thought we'd signed.
Yeah, James, you and I could both do with some dental work and some weight loss, but that's a completely different chat altogether.
Yeah, for sure.
There's a suggestion, and I would buy into this suggestion, that Tomoki Iwata, I thought he had a reasonable game yesterday, but he was very, very safe. You know, he was doing the Neil Lennon type thing. And it's something that frustrated a lot of fans when Lenny played, but sideways passing, backways passing, but ultimately not giving the ball away much at all. There was times where you were desperate for him to make that pass, because at the game, you know, it's maybe different when you're on the field of play, but at the game in the stands, you see the Kyogo run, you see the Maeda run. And a few times too many, we didn't quite make the pass. And Iwata himself was maybe particularly in the firing line for that. But actually, you've got to give him credit. We talk about Nicholas Coon there. In the first half, Iwata's played a great through ball to him, probably the most adventurous pass he did make. And I'd like to just see a wee bit more of that. But maybe he's under instruction not to, or maybe he's also in a position where he's not had his best couple of games in recent times, and he's maybe just said to himself, well, I'm going to make sure I don't make a mistake. What do you think of how he approached the game?
I think it is under instruction. You know, Rodgers' priority in every game is to control the game first and foremost, and your kind of water carrier stuff that Tomoki will do, it can be quite boring, but it does allow you to exert control in the game. So, I think he's got real talent, and I think he's got real talent for that number six. I think he unlocks a lot for us. So the more games that go past and the more he settles into that role, the happier I am. You would like to see him be a wee bit more ambitious, but I don't think that's his job necessarily as well. I think that's for someone else. He's there to mop up, fetch and carry, and if someone else wants to make the killer pass, that's up to them.
Yeah, so another 90 minutes for Tomoki Lennon, and we'll see if he keeps his place. We've got that situation in midfield where I wonder if Bernardo, in fact, I'd be pretty sure Bernardo is just keeping that shirt ready till Callum McGregor can return. There's been so many stories, so much speculation as to just how long Cal Mac will be out for, but the real hope is that he's back after this break. We've discussed the fact, though, that, so I've just double-checked, we're away to Libby, we're on that surface. It's not a great place to reintroduce someone, whether it's Cal Mac or Rio Hitati. And Celtic, maybe now's not the time for this chat, but just to touch on it briefly, Celtic could be gambling, going to Ibrox the 7th of April by throwing in a couple of guys that haven't played much game time. What do you think? Is that the move to make?
One of two. I don't think we'll see much of Rio until mid to late April. I think that's when we'll see the any impact from him. I think he might come off the bench at Ibrox. I think McGregor will start if all goes according to plan, as it seems to be at the moment. I don't think you've got any issues putting a McGregor into a game like that, because he's played it so often and he's bossed it so often. He won't have any issues in terms of playing at Ibrox and stuff, just coming back from injury. So I think that's the way it will go. McGregor will be ready for that one, but maybe just too early for Rio for me.
Yeah, so it'll be real interesting. Yeah. I think the break's come at a good time for Celtic. You know, we've kind of picked up an important 3 points yesterday, but you can now, get some guys back from injury. So all of a sudden, the injury list is now Rio Hitati, Callum McGregor, Liam Scales added to the mix, and Louis Palmer. It gets those guys back as potentially all four of those guys, and obviously Carter Vickers were managing at this moment in time. These guys could all have a huge part to play at Ibrox. But the most important thing, you know, yesterday was getting those 3 points and worrying about that later. But it also gives guys like Matt O'Reilly and other guys of that ilk maybe just need just a wee bit of downtime. It's been quite a relentless time. And saying that, he now has been called up by Denmark, hasn't he?
Been called up. I'm kind of hoping, you know, it's great for him to be involved in squads, obviously, but I'm kind of hoping he's sort of not used. He needs a break. I mean, it'd be even nicer if he wasn't travelling. He could get some genuine downtime, but you saw him yesterday. You know, guys get talent all over the place, but he's so leggy. So I think it's a tough one. Celtic obviously can't deny him or deny even Denmark that O'Reilly goes, but I wish they could.
Yeah, I think he'll be boosted by that, and the hope is he returns more confident and more back to his best. But he has looked a bit heavy-legged in recent times. In a more positive sense, Celtic have agreed with the US national team that Carter Vickers won't travel, and he'll continue his recovery back here, which is good. To get back to the game, so Celtic do get the ball in the net from Kyogo. It's the one that he chested in, James, but I'm quite happy that he was clearly offside for that one. And he's then got, he's opened the scoring, and he's got the opening goal. And it's Nicholas Kühn, and it's a ball we've kind of seen a few times now from Nicholas Kühn. He starts on the right wing, he cuts inside to his left foot. He clearly is very two-footed, and he clips a perfect ball into Kyogo. You maybe don't see this at the time. I certainly didn't pick it up at the game, but having watched the highlights since, his run is exceptional. He actually starts in front of the defender, and kind of just does a loop-the-loop. He circles the guy to the point where he doesn't know where he is, and he glances ahead of him, is it Mitov, Dimitar Mitov, the goalie, who's a decent goalie. But it's a really good goal for Celtic. Then modern football being modern football, you need to wait 2 or 3 minutes for confirmation. Thankfully, we get the nod, but it's a really good goal to open the scoring.
Yeah, and it's, you know, certainly for Kühn. The defender's thinking he's not in any real trouble there, because Kuhn's essentially facing his own goal. But then he just cuts, same as he put that ball into Maeda last week, he just cuts. And it's an inch-perfect pass to Kyogo. It's tight in terms of line, but he's well onside. How it took them so long, I don't know. And quite brave from Kyogo as well. Mitov's coming flying out, and as you see it, you're thinking he's going to take a sore one here, but he just manages to get ahead of the goalie and just runs it home. Lovely goal.
Yeah, it looks like he'd added it just a few minutes after. Maeda finds himself in a position at the back post. He nods it into Kyogo's path, and he finishes high into the net, but clearly offside, so no problems there. But what that does indicate, and you know, the stats will back up, is just how much dominance Celtic had during that first half. It's one thing controlling possession, and what we've seen at times this season is the stats are telling you Celtic are 70-75% possession, but not creating the chances to go with that. But what we've seen yesterday is, you know, goals chopped off for offside, some guys even handballing things on the line. James, we'll cover that in a second.
Handballs are a penalty, yeah.
Celtic hitting the woodwork. We're creating the chances to go with the possession. And that's the most encouraging thing. And that's encouraging for Brendan Rodgers, because I say this a lot, but I think a coach's job, in its simplest sense, is to set up a team to create chances. If individuals on the day are off form or fluff their lines or whatever, there's not a great deal a coach can do about that. But his job is to create a system which creates the chances. And I think Brendan Rodgers has done that. So credit for that. What about the penalty incident? So you were adamant at the time, don't worry, we're getting the penalty here. They'll do the check and we're good to go, because that definitely looked like a handball. It is a handball. We've seen it. We've seen the replay now. It catches the guy maybe elbow-ish. And It just depends on your interpretation of the rules at this moment in time. But people are saying the arm is in close to the body, so you know there's nothing they can do about it. And I suppose if that is the rule, then that's one thing. But surely the rule should be, if a guy uses any part of his arm to prevent a goal, you know, deliberately or otherwise, then it must be a penalty. Then what you get is the farce that Iwata is punished for at Hearts, where he's not looking at the ball. It's in a very... it's not in a dangerous part of the box. He's in the edge of the box. There's no chance for Hearts. It falls out the sky, hits his arm. Penalty. Whereas a guy blocks one on the line with his arms, no penalty. And it will sound like I'm greeting because it's Celtic stuff. I would be moaning at watching that from a neutral point of view, because how can that be the rule where a clear goal-scoring opportunity has been prevented, but it's no penalty, and Iwata's is? Make sense of it for me, please, James.
You can't make sense of it. That's the whole point. This just comes off as bitter Celtic fan, whatever kind of thing. But we're seeing things being interpreted that go against us, and they get interpreted a certain way, and when they're to go for us, they don't go that way. This will be the basis of Celtic's case to the SFA next week, whenever that is that the inconsistency, incompetence, bias, call it what you will. If that guy's arm isn't there, it's a goal. It's as simple as that. I think that is a harsh handball, because he can't do an awful lot about it. He does raise his hand slightly towards the ball, so then you can make that argument that he's moved towards the ball and he's made a block. So the thing is, you can argue that's a penalty, and there's a certain team would get that penalty, and it's not us.
No, it's not. I think what we need to do, football-wise, not just Celtic-wise, is just simplify this rule and be clearer. If it's something that prevents a goal, deliberately or not, it should be a penalty, and one or two nuances around that. But at the moment, as I said before, I think I used the term that I feel sorry for refs. I got absolutely shot down for that, so I'll maybe not repeat it now, but you can understand to a point, natural body shape, silhouette, leaning towards the ball, close quarters, all these kind of things. It's just get very confusing, and it seems the rules are changing every other season as well. So let's just simplify it, and let's be more real about it. You know, let's give penalties. Penalties should be given in quite an extreme thing. A goal in football is a low-scoring sport. A goal is a huge thing. So let's not be giving out penalties willy-nilly for silly stuff. But when it, you know, when it disadvantages the attacking side, then I think that's when you've got to give it. But we'll move on from it, James. So we get to half-time. We're 1-0 up and good to go. How are you feeling at half-time? Are you fairly relaxed? You know, it'd be nice to get a couple of goals cushion, but are you quite happy with the way things are going at that stage?
Relaxed. I mean, in terms of how St Johnstone set up, I can't remember Joe Hart having a safety make in the 90, never mind in the first 45. The only save he made was to parry the one out for their goal. Excuse me. So, yeah, it was comfy, but, you know, you need goals on the board, because at 1-0, they can sneak one. Even at 2-0, it puts you, you know, a bit nervy. So getting back out to centre half for the second half and starting as you left the first was really positive, I felt.
Yeah.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle, a run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Definitely. So we get into the second half. You don't need to wait long at all. It's Nicholas Kuhn that gets the goal. There's someone earlier on in the comments, I'll try and dig it out, but talking about Brendan Rodgers not getting the best from Kyogo. I've got it here. So John Clements says, it's been criminal the way we've neglected to play to Kyogo's strengths for so long, and we now seem to be giving him service. Kyogo's so important to the team, make him the focal point, Brendan. And I think it's spot on from John. He's absolutely right. I think we did make him the focal point yesterday, and I'm not entirely convinced that Rodgers hasn't been deliberately playing to Kyogo's strengths. But what you seen yesterday was kind of the Kyogo of old. He's making the runs. He's sharp. He's on the shoulder. His first goal epitomises that. He's had two other goals chopped off in the first half. He's cracked the underside of the bar in the second half. And at this point in the game that we're talking about, he creates the assist for Nicholas Kühn. But the assist in itself is a thing of real quality because he makes that run in the channel that he always makes, but doesn't always get picked up on. And real credit to Greg Taylor, who plays a really clever pass, you know, a left-footed curled pass into Kyogo. It's just out of reach for the defender. Kyogo latches on. He's then got his back to the St. Johnstone goal as such, but he swivels and he hits it into an area. And we've spoken about this in recent weeks. You don't need to look up and say, where's my right winger? Where's my striker? I need to find where they're going. Just find an area and it's their job to get into that space. Yeah. And Nicholas Kühn's done brilliantly as well. He's come here and in at the back post, like all good wingers should. And he's tucked it away. But there's credit all round. Brilliant by Taylor. Clever by Kyogo. And Kühn, you know, stepping on to pick up where he left off. Everyone's seen how well he done against Livingston last week, but then said, but you need to now go and do that the next game. And I think he's done just that.
It's great to see a bit of a relationship and an understanding forming there. You're right. I mean, Kyogo doesn't need to do an awful lot of work as to who's in the box and who isn't. He's just putting into that area. Kühn anticipates it really, really well. It looks like the defender's poor, but it's actually Kühn is just really sharp and he gets way ahead of him. He's about 2 or 3 yards ahead of him when that ball starts to come in, and then he's just got the goal at his mercy. So they've done their hard work early, the pair of them, and it's a great goal, you know, and it just gives us a wee bit of comfort there.
Yeah, it really does, and it, you know, starts off the second half in the right tone. I was critical of Kühn, absolutely, based on his first few games. And, you know, there's some people saying, oh, where's all the Kühn haters now? So I wouldn't call myself that, but I think he was due criticism because he didn't start life at Celtic in the way that we all hoped. He was the big January signing at a time we were crying out for somebody to make an impact in this second half of the season. We've already covered the fact he had dental treatment. He lost around about 8 kilos, apparently. And with it, he lost a bit of his pace and power, which is clearly part of his game. What he has showed in the last couple of games, and I think in both of them, he's had to go off with cramp, which I'm okay with at this level. He'll need to continue to build up. But I don't mind any player giving his absolute all for 70 minutes and then putting the pause up and saying, my work here's done, let's bring somebody else on. And we kick on that basis. But I think over the last two games, he's shown that he very probably will now have a part to play, you know, in these closing games that we maybe never thought just a few games ago.
No, you know, we're really struggling despite having bodies as wingers. We're really struggling for quality. George Barr's made a really interesting comment there and asked you at the game. So Yang was bang on form when he got taken out by John Beaton, no less. So he's now back available for the Livy game. If it wasn't for Kühn's last two games, you'd be going, well, that's dead easy, Yang straight in. But Kühn has definitely done enough to keep that shirt. I think you've got to give it to the guy with the momentum. I'd like to see maybe Kühn then pick up on the left. He played a lot for Rapid on the left and Yang on the right. And it's just all out football. Your argument, quite rightly, is that Maeda gives you all that defensive stuff, but it gives you poor quality football from a technical point of view. The two of them are technicians and they'll get you goals. I would lean towards that, as George is suggesting.
Yeah, so George's question is, do we go Kühn, Kyogo, Yang? All three, touchwood, should be available now for the next game. And then obviously the Rangers game after that. So it's a decent argument. It would be rare for Celtic in these last couple of years to go without Maeda at Ibrox. But what you've got now, to roll out the cliche, is good headaches for the manager to have. All of a sudden, you've got genuine quality chap in the door there and saying, well, listen, you know, Yang and Kühn can both now say, well, I'm due a start. You know, Kühn will say, I've done my bit over the last couple of games. Yang will say he impressed up until he's sending off. So there's now guys that are, I would say, turning up at the right time of the season. You know, it's a long old season, but now's the business end of it. And I think it's a really great situation to have. The Prophet, you know, good friend of the show, he's made a comment that you can't judge Kühn in just two games. And I'm not sure if he means just the last couple of games, but if it is based on that, what I would say is signs are very encouraging. You know, that's all we can say. You can only, you know, judge on what's happening in front of you just now. He was man of the match yesterday. He was man of the match against Livy. And that's all he can do. You know, he's had a sticky start to life at Celtic, but now he's in a position where he's starting to influence games, and that's exactly why we've signed him. Going across the rest of the second half, James, you'd be hopeful for more goals. You know, you'd be, you know, as a fan, you'd always want 3, 4 and 5. It's not quite turned out that way. We've made a few changes. in amongst them. At some stage, Daniel Kelly comes in. We spoke about him pre-match. I think he's nice and tidy. He's not having a huge impact on games, but I think he's nice and tidy. At the moment, do you think he's a better option than Paulo Bernardo?
He's given me something, Kelly. You know, I noticed him when he came on. I didn't notice Bernardo at all in the game. So for that reason alone, you know, you said earlier on about Bernardo that he didn't have a good game, didn't have a bad game. You just didn't notice him. That's a bad game. Your job is to be noticed and do noticeable things. So I think Kelly's got a way to go. He's a young guy. He's just coming into the first team. But yeah, I mean, obviously the choice is McGregor. But in the meantime, I think Kelly starts ahead of Bernardo.
Yeah, we've got a tricky situation where the team that you would pick, you want consistency, don't you? We've spoken about that, you know, throughout the year we've lacked consistency. You would want to pick the same team for the next two games, but I think the conditions at Livingston added to the injury situation we've got, it makes that less clear. John Clements makes another good point, though. Maeda for Ibrox, Kuhn and Yang for home matches. And it's different guys to unlock different defences. So, I don't know. I think we can only focus, or the manager can only focus on what's ahead of him. It's all right for us to speculate two, three games down the line. But they'll look, first and foremost, you've got to beat Livy to make it, you know, worthwhile moving forward. That's the most important game. And we'll see if it goes beyond that. But yeah, so Daniel Kelly, he came on for Bernardo in the 63rd minute. You're right, he showed more of an impact than the Portuguese did. And at the same time, James Forrest, forgotten man James Forrest, comes back in for the second game in a row and has a pretty notable impact. You've got to say, and I think we touched on it last week, he's really looking after himself physically. I think he's in great shape. You know, he's a finely toned athlete, and I think he's shown a very professional attitude for a guy who doesn't play a lot of football for Celtic now. But what he's saying is, and I think he accepts his place in the pecking order, but what he's saying is, I'm ready when you need me. And at the moment, with Yang suspended, with Palmer injured, and we've got another issue in the wing somewhere. It'll come back to me. But you've got issues in the wing at this moment in time. And James Forrest said, okay, well, now's the time when I'm needed. I'll be ready. And he stepped in, James, and he's a far safer player than he used to be. His focus now seems to be, let's retain possession and try and eke out some chances rather than go at it all guns blazing, you know, bombing at the fullback. But he keeps possession, he keeps ticking things ticking along. And then when his chance came, he's tucked that away brilliantly with his left foot.
Yeah, I mean, he made it look really easy, which is a skill in itself. First of all, to be in the right place, to you know, have that awareness and experience of where the ball's going to end up. When Kuhn went off, I was a bit disappointed, thinking, well, James will come on, it'll be safe, and we'll probably finish this 2-0 rather than get another goal. But obviously, James had other ideas. Just tucked it away. Left foot, I'm a collector's item.
Yeah, he was delighted with it as well. And I'm pleased for James Forrest. I think you and I have agreed, much to Miff's disgust, that James's time at Celtic is running down. The fact that he was available for transfer in January tells you that. But he's a Celtic man. He deserves all the praise that comes his way at different times. And again, he stepped up at an important moment yesterday. His goal puts the game to bed, you know, put it in its simplest form. And you've seen the release from James. You know, he's not noted for overly energetic celebrations, but there was a real buzz from him. And you're pleased for a guy like that, of course you are. And it was a big goal at a key moment in the game. You've got a situation then where we know Celtic are managing Cameron Carter-Vickers' minutes at this moment in time. He's clearly not 100%, and there's more important games ahead. So the manager makes the call to remove him. You know, with what is that? 15 minutes to go. So on the 75th minute, he makes the move. Gustav Lagerbielka's on the bench thinking, I've got to get minutes today. Liam Scales is out. Different things going on. Navrocki's not around. Here we go. He probably took the zipper off, ready to go. And the manager says, right, Odin, Thiago Holm, you're going on. And that's the move. So Thiago Holm comes on and Iwata steps back into centre-half. Thiago Holm steps into that midfield spot. How do you feel at that moment in time? And what does that say? Does that say that, you know, obviously Brendan Rodgers has got all eyes on Lagerbielka. He sees him at training every day. Does he just not trust him? Is he just not confident, even for 15 minutes against a St. Johnstone side that you're 3-0 up against? He just doesn't have the confidence to put him in there?
No. My analysis of it is that he knows Lagerbielka is a better centre-half than Tomoki. That's a given, because when we lost the goal, his first move was to push Tomoki back into midfield and bring Lagerbielka on. So he knows he's the centre-half there. I think he was prioritising giving Holm some minutes in his legs. There was some part of his development that was saying, you know, this guy's got to get some game time. And I wanted to see some game time. He was pretty ropey when he came on, but he'll be so rusty as well. So I think that's all it was. It was prioritising home, thinking we're 3-0 up. I don't really need to be overprotective at the back. And then we lose a goal and he goes, well, maybe I should show that up. And he brings on his defender then.
Yeah, I heard some chat on the radio driving home with you from the game that he's made that move. Yeah, he gets minutes in the legs for Odin Thiago home. And then we lose that goal. And Celtic, all of a sudden, anytime we lose Carl Vickers, we look far more nervous, far weaker at the back. And that's exactly what's happened. It's a cheap goal to lose. There's a lot going on.
Yeah,
Greg Taylor gets caught under the ball. I don't want to be too critical of that. But it's one of the very few St. Johnstone attacks. And Joe Hart, as he has done, he's stayed alert and he's pulled off a big save. And then it's their guy, not our guy, that's fallen up to smash it high into the net. And I think at that moment in time, the manager sees the error of his ways, potentially. I thought it was a puzzling substitution, I have to say. I understand managing minutes and stuff, but just see out that game. Can we go and win 4-0 rather than 3-1? Because who knows in terms of goal difference. But he makes the move that he does and then corrects it. Lagerbielke then comes on in the 86th minute. And I don't know how good or bad he may ever become, but from a confidence point of view, it must be hard for him to get his headspace into that because he wanted to move in January. Carl Vickers gets injured, so he has moves, you know, put on ice for now. And he just, again, like James Forrest, he has to be fit and available at all times. He can't fault his professionalism. He's making himself available to play for Celtic, but it's not a great place for him to be, is it?
No, and my kind of gut instinct was that Celtic had handled that really poorly in January in terms of, you know, blocking his move. You know, but it was when Carl Vickers relapsed, essentially. And then it turns out he was needed yesterday, so he's got to say, in hindsight, Celtic have handled it really well because they've made sure they've got cover. I don't know if we've got anyone coming out of the youth that could have stepped in there, maybe. But frustrating for the lad, of course. You know, he just wanted to play football and he seemed to have a good deal going for him at Lecce. It was all set to go. They wanted him, he wanted to go. But, you know, Celtic's priority is for Celtic and that has to be the way. If, you know, Carter Vickers end up on the treatment table the next 2 weeks and you need a Lagerbielke to come in against Rangers, you know, that could conceivably happen. So that's the priority. But the simplest thing for Rodgers would have been to bring him on yesterday and just give him game time at the point that he took Carter Vickers off. But like I say, maybe wanted to see a wee bit of what home could do. So you can overanalyse these things, as it sounds like I've just done, rambling for the last 2 minutes.
I was going to say, you can spend 3 minutes on it like you've just played out. But you've got a world of modern football where squad management, and I'm not saying this is Lagerbielke, but sensitive footballers is more of a thing than ever, and you need to, you know, manage the minutes and make them feel loved and all that stuff. But at the end of the day, only 11 of these guys can start. So it's a near impossible task. And yeah, I just, you know, from Lagerbielke's point of view, he must be feeling out of sorts, but credit to him. They're continuing to show up and be available. And who knows? You know, I mean, the way the season's gone in terms of injury, he might well have more of a part to play than we all think in the next, what is it, 8 league games and hopefully 2 cup games. So we'll need to see how it goes. The game plays out. You're obviously hoping for a couple more goals, but it's not to be. I think I tipped 3-1 in the pre-match, which was fine. We don't get many of them right at all. But actually, in the lead up to the game, I changed it. And I said to yourself and a couple of other guys, I think Celtic will be 4-1 today. And Tomoki Iwata has to make that 4-1. You've seen the chance at the death. I don't know how he misses that. It'd have been a nice boost at the end of the game for him and for the fans, but it's not to be. But listen, you leave Celtic Park, James, you're in good spirits. We've spoken recently about, first and foremost, it's all about the 3 points. We'll take performances second to that. But all Celtic can do and keep on doing is looking after their own business and winning games of football, and that's what they've done. So how are you feeling on the final whistle?
Feel great, and I think you could feel that around, you know, the fan bases we were leaving. You know, it was a kind of nice, you know, a real buzz about the places, the maestro says. You know, there was a nice wee buzz getting out of the stadium. People were, you know, smiling and, you know, talking about this, that and the next thing. So, yeah, I think the performance has done that for us, to give us the confidence that we're not going to make any more stupid slip-ups that we did, you know, come back about 4, 5, 6 weeks ago, and that they've got the bit between their teeth. They're just going to drive home and get these games dealt with. So, yeah, I'm feeling very confident, very happy about it all.
Yeah, absolutely. The Prophet said that I've not mentioned Dyson's contribution enough. I thought he was fine yesterday, and I don't fault him as a professional. Brilliant hat-trick last week, but he's not had as much an impact. Games at home against sticky opposition and low defensive blocks aren't really Dyson Maeda's bread and butter. So you know, credit at different times, but I think that's a game yesterday. If we had the options, you want a Yang and a Kun, for example. But we'll always give Dyson credit where it's due, profit. Don't worry about that. There's also a couple of kind comments come in from Monty and Stephen Winning about the battle to save Celtic series that we've run in recent times. There's now, let me get my numbers right, there's now four parts available for that. We've got Matt McGlone from Celtics for Change, David Lowe, the financial analyst, Fergus is number two, Jim Orr from Save Our Celts, and most recently, Tom Grant, ex-Celtic director. So they're all available now on YouTube or wherever you get your podcasts. And thanks for all the kind comments. We've actually got part five going live tomorrow morning with no less than Hugh Keevans. Now, some folks might be thinking, Hugh Keevans, he's not a big friend of Celtic these days. And that may or may not be the case. But what Hugh Keevans has, he's a guy who played a huge part in those things 30 years ago. At the time, he was a journal for the Scotsman. He worked on Radio Clyde. And he and several others played a huge part in keeping the Celtic story front and centre in the press in these pre-internet, pre-social media days. It's a brilliant episode, not from my point of view, but from what Hugh brings to it. And I'd thoroughly recommend catching that tomorrow. So that about out around about late morning, maybe lunchtime tomorrow for anyone that wants to check that out. But thanks to everyone here for the kind comments. James, your own final comments then. So we're now top of the table and will be for the next 2 weeks. Your comments on that in general and how the players are feeling about themselves ahead of the all-important running.
Yeah, I mean, you can't deny there's a psychological boost to getting back top of the table. Thought we could maybe have got it at Hearts, but not to be. So we've got it now. We've got a game in hand, but got to win it. So I think it's all turned out quite nice the last 2 weeks. You know, it's just been a bumpy ride, just even the last 2.5 months been a bumpy ride. So good to see things starting to sail. Good to see guys coming back off the injury treatment table and stuff. So yeah, long way to go and a hard road to go, but Celtic have definitely got the capability to win this title, no doubt.
Yeah, 100%. There is a long way to go in the bigger picture, some real challenges ahead, but at the moment Celtic are top of the tree and you can never bemoan that. So we're pleased to be there at least for the next couple of weeks, and we'll see what happens beyond that. Thanks to James for joining me here on a Sunday afternoon. Thanks to everyone who's joined us in the live comments as always. Thanks to those who listen in podcast format. As I say, we'll be back tomorrow with part five, Hugh Keevans and the battle to save Celtic. And we'll also then have the weekly show getting recorded tomorrow night, Monday night. So in the meantime, enjoy the rest of your weekend. Enjoy Paddy's Day if you can. And we'll see you again very soon.
Podcast Network.